A Godly Purpose is our title today. Luke 2:40-52 is our text. As I said, we're in the Christmas season right now. We're in the second Sunday of the Christmas season. Because of the nature of how that's determined and the dates and all of that, some years we get one, some years we get two Sundays during Christmas. One of the things that is nice to focus on during the Christmas season as we think about the birth of Jesus, as we're celebrating that, is thinking about Jesus' identity. And in particular, especially when we have two Sundays, it sometimes is nice to think about, as one, we focus on Jesus' humanity and we reflect on that, as Jesus is fully human. And then the other Sunday, we might focus on Jesus' divinity, on the fact that He is fully God as well. And so we get to do that. We get to reflect on who Jesus is, His identity, His purpose in the world. And so that's where we continue on. As last week, we heard that Jesus' story, Jesus' life, is a human story. And we get to be a part of that. And He invites us to come into that as our story is a human story. And His is a human story. And we are joined together through that. We saw Jesus being dedicated at the temple last week. And encountering a few people there who were excited to see Him, who were waiting for the Messiah, for the redemption of God's people. We heard from Simeon, who praised God and encountered baby Jesus and recognized who He is. And then we had Anna, who we didn't get any words from her, but she recognized who Jesus is. And then she went and told others about Him, about the baby. Today, we move on in Jesus' life to probably another familiar story to many of you. Jesus is now 12 years old. We find Him at the temple again. It's really a focus of Luke's as he is writing the gospel compared to some of the other gospel writers. He has a focus on the temple and what it means for Jesus to, what the temple means and what it means for Jesus to be there and for Him to be the temple for us where we come to God. And so we're back at the temple again as Luke recounts for us this particular incident in Jesus' life. Our focus here as we think about our text this morning is, what is Jesus' purpose in this world? And so that's where we're thinking. And how did he grow in that purpose? So that's where our focus is as we get to our text. Luke 2:40-52 is our text this morning. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that. Luke 2:40-52. Reading in Jesus' name. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for this account of Jesus' life. And what it shows us about His purpose in this world. Please guide us as we consider these words for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front to come up at this time. All right. Come on up. There's seats for everyone. So, all right. Oh, come on up. There we go. We got a couple more coming up. All right. You guys have some seats. A seat over here. Hey, did you guys hear what the title was today Anybody hear that, what the sermon title is? Okay, I'm going to tell it to you again. Godly purpose, that's what we said. Do you guys know what a purpose is? What's a purpose?
You do something on purpose.
You do something on purpose, right?
If I run and just knock this plant over, that's on purpose.
It could be, right? Or it could be an accident. It depends,
but if
yeah.
Something is right there and I need it, I run and I trip over it and it falls down.
Oh. That's an accident. Hey, good. Thank you for that explanation. Yeah. If you were to run up, okay, thank you. That's very good. If you were to run up and knock it over going to something else, that's on accident. But if you went over and you just knocked it over, that's on purpose, right? Yeah. You know what? Because of that type of thing, one of our boys, when he was little, he always thought that on purpose meant something bad. Because we would say, oh, you did that on purpose. You know, that was kind of mean. But actually, on purpose could be something good, too, right? If you try to do something good, if your attempt is to do something good, and you do that on purpose, then that's a good thing. If you're trying to do something bad, then on purpose is a bad thing, right? Well, we're focusing on purpose here because God has a plan, and He has something like a purpose, right? It's a purpose. It's something that He wants to happen. It's a way that He's working in this world. So a godly purpose means a purpose. Even we have purposes, right? We have things that we're trying to do. Yeah?
I have a plant at my house, and my brother made me knock out my flower.
Oh.
Oh,
okay. So, yeah, so you knocked over a plant and and he had to clean it up. Yep. Well, that happens too, right? Oh, good. Well, so here's what I want to be thinking about today. How did Jesus find out? Did God have a purpose for Jesus in his life? Yes, he did. Do you know? A purpose. Yeah. Remember, purpose can be a good thing if you're trying to do something good, right? Did he have a purpose for? He did. You know how Jesus found out about that? You know, he's God, but he also had to learn. That's kind of weird to think about, isn't it? Did God have to learn? But as a human, Jesus had to learn. Where did he? What was the picture? Were you guys listening? Where did Jesus go? Do you know what this picture is of? In Jerusalem. Yeah, he went with his family to Jerusalem. He stayed at the temple. Look, there he is. He's learning. Yeah. Right. Well, he was probably learning more than teaching, but he had good answers as they asked questions, right? Yeah. He's learning there. Does God have a purpose for your life? What do you think? Does he have something that he wants to happen in your life? Does he? Yeah. I'm glad you got a hint from your friend there that helped you out. Yes, he does. Where would you find out his purpose? Oh, yeah.
I would find my purpose. I really wanted to be a police officer, and he made me become myself so I can help people around.
Oh, so it might be...
Everyone being safe.
Yeah, so you might want to help people keep
but
safe and be a police officer, yeah.
I want to have watched YouTube, then Michael wanted to be himself, and I want to be myself.
Ah, okay.
So God plans every plan for all of you.
Okay, so God, hey, thanks. Thank you for sharing that with us. God does have a plan for all of us, doesn't he? You know what? And where we are today is a really great place to be finding out God's purpose for us. So that's what I want you to be thinking about. We'll find out about Jesus' purpose and also about our own as well. So thank you. All right, could you hand those out for me? And could you hand some out? Make sure you get over to those guys over there, okay? Oh, just hand them out. Thank you. That's what our purpose is today, is just handing them out. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. All right, we're getting everybody back again? All right. Okay, good. Oh, we got a little impromptu lesson there this morning. That was pretty good. That was very good. You never know what we're going to get, right? Yeah, that was good. Excellent. Well, As we learn about Jesus' life, we learn There are a lot of things that we have in the gospel, in the Gospels, the four books that we call the Gospels that talk about Jesus' life. There's a lot that we learn in there about Jesus, about his ministry, about those things. The reality is, though, we don't learn very much about his time growing up. And sometimes I think we're a little bit curious. What was his life like growing up? What was he like as a child? And, you know, we don't get a lot. We just really, other than his birth, we really just have this one account of, one example of something happening in his life growing up. There are other stories that exist in different places that were written, and most of them, the accuracy of them is pretty doubtful. We don't know, you know, how accurate. They're probably written a long time later. There may be some stories that came up in the early church history, but we have this one, and in what we receive as Scripture, as God's Word, and this tells us something about Jesus' life and about his purposes. And you know, it's interesting, as we have this record of Luke recording for us different things about Jesus' life, it really seems, and many scholars believe that Luke probably, as he was, you know, it seems he came to faith later, after, you know, he wasn't around Jesus during his lifetime. He was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. But it seems pretty clear that he had an opportunity to talk to Mary herself later on and to hear some of these things from her directly, especially as we find the phrases, Mary treasured these things in her heart. I think that gives us a little bit of evidence that Luke got to talk to her and just find out, what was this like with this boy Jesus, the promised Messiah, you know, in the life, in the early life? Well, as we get to this account here, we might ask, you know, as we want to find out, there's a particular reason, you know, both for the event itself, but also for Luke including that here in what he tells us. What do we learn then from this about Jesus? What do we learn from what we read here about ourselves, too? Because that's an important thing to think about. As we're learning about Jesus, we're learning also about ourselves. And as we begin, our first verse this week is the same as the last verse that we had last week, which says that the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And then we skip some years now, and we're just told, before we get to the story itself, we're just told that every year, as was the custom, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover celebration. This is something that the men were required to do if they could, to travel to Jerusalem. The women weren't required to do it, but many did. And as they did that, they would then travel probably most often with their families, especially if there wasn't somebody to leave them back with as well at home. So we might get the impression here that maybe in those early years that Jesus was not with them. Maybe he was back with somebody else in Nazareth. That could be true, but not necessarily. It's just as likely that he was along with them all those other times as well. But here we get an account from when he was 12 years old. And that's significant. First of all, we have the account itself, so that's a reason to record it. But also, as he is 12 years old, he's getting into that time of life where he's beginning to take on the responsibility in that culture of an adult when it comes to his faith and when it comes to his cultural and religious responsibilities. He's getting to that point now. And so, just like in all those previous years that Joseph and Mary traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, they also went up this year. And just a geographical note for those that are interested, they went up to Jerusalem because it was a higher elevation. They go back down to Nazareth because even though it's in the north, it's lower elevation. So, anyway, that aside, for those who are interested, the rest of you can tune back in now. They went to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. And the Passover celebration would be 7 days long, although the primary 2 days were at the beginning of that. So even for all those that traveled there, there might be some who would just stay the 2 days and then head home, and then others would stay the full 7 days and then travel home after that. It's likely that Jesus' family might have stayed for all of it. We don't really know, but they were there for the Passover celebration, and that's kind of the nature of what was going on. It was a week-long celebration recognizing God's saving of his people from Egypt. So after their part in this celebration, they started heading home. And as you can imagine, all of these people that are coming here every year, it would be natural for them, if they're coming from the same place, to travel together. It's safer. They don't have to worry about bandits on the road or any of that. And they can travel in a group. It would be much more enjoyable to be traveling along with your friends and family. So we can imagine this situation where we have a lot of people from the town of Nazareth traveling together. Maybe even some neighboring communities would all travel together. So we have quite a few people traveling together. And so we might imagine, as we think about the story, man, how did Jesus get left behind? But it would make sense, as you have a large group of people, a large mix of relatives, of friends. Easily, multiple people could have said, oh, he's here somewhere. You know, he's probably with that group of boys that's traveling behind us there. You know, those of his same age, he might be with them. And so as they go, they don't realize that Jesus isn't with them, but Jesus stayed behind. And his parents did not realize that. And I can imagine, on a smaller scale, how this might happen. A couple of years ago, when several of our families were camping out at Whitewater, we went to one particular hill to hike up. A pretty steep climb up the hill, across the ridge, and back down the other side, coming back to that starting point. And so we all gathered together there to go, and I was one of the last to get there. And as I got there, I looked around, and I saw people heading up the hill, nobody else around, so I kind of caught the tail end of everybody hiking up the hill. Well, it turns out that we got, over the ridge, came back down, and it turns out one of our boys had been left behind. He had been in the restroom when I got there. That's why I didn't see him. And so he had been left behind waiting for us. And, we were all a little bit, it felt bad for him, and he felt bad for us. So I went and did the hike again along with him so he could enjoy the hike. Were we bad parents to leave him behind? We probably could have done better, right? But, I'm just bringing that up to say, especially in the large group they were traveling with, it doesn't reflect on Joseph and Mary that they left Jesus behind in Jerusalem. That was just, they were traveling together, and he had something else going on. And, it was not disrespectful to them, and they were not, ignoring him. But this is just something that happened. And so it's interesting that it happens this way, because now we get to discover what is a priority for Jesus as this happened in this way. And we might ask the question then, and I'm sure they were asking the question as they went to look for him, what could he be doing? Did he get lost along the way? So they're, first of all, they're looking for him that way. But if he didn't, if he stayed behind and didn't join with us, what could he be doing? And so his parents realize that he's not with them. They look all through. Okay, that family group over there, no, he's not with them. This group of boys over here, no, he's not with them. Okay, so where is he? And so they head back to Jerusalem. And as they head back, we hear that after 3 days, that they found him in the temple. Now, we might get the impression that they got back to Jerusalem and they looked around the city for 3 days before they finally found him. Well, it's quite likely that actually the first day was simply the day they were headed on the road to Nazareth. The second day was the day when they were headed back. And as they, they might have made a quick trip, but also they had to be wondering, is he somewhere along the way? So I'm sure it wasn't that quick. So now the third day, they're actually looking in Jerusalem, and that's when they found him. That's probably what we're looking at here. Well, what places would they search when they came back to Jerusalem? The places that they stayed, I don't know where they stayed for sure. They seem to have had friends and acquaintances around Jerusalem, so they could have checked with them first. All right, he's not in any of the places that we expect him to be. Where do we go next? At some point, they end up looking for him in the temple, which is another place they would have visited during this Passover celebration. So they end up finding him at the temple. He's there. What is he doing? Well, as we think about this setting, as we think about walking into the temple, as his parents walk into the temple and they find him there, what they see is really a familiar setting in that culture. It would have actually been a setting that they would have experienced, not at the temple, but maybe at the synagogue back in Nazareth, where you have a teacher, a religious teacher, there sitting, teaching people that might want to learn. And they might have specific questions for him. He might be teaching on a particular thing. And so that's the setting. So you have a teacher sitting there in a part of the temple courtyard, and people around him learning from him, maybe asking questions, maybe responding to questions that he has as he attempts to teach them about God's Word. And here you have Jesus sitting among all those people that were probably mostly adults there, learning from the religious teacher. Now, keep in mind, we end up later finding Jesus opposed to some of the religious leaders. But remember that that's primarily because some of the ways that they were distorting what God's Word said, and they were keeping control over things that they really shouldn't have or didn't need to. But the reality is that these religious teachers did know God's Word. And so it was an appropriate place for Jesus to be learning from, you know, it's weird to say from God's Word. It's His own Word, but He had to learn from it. That's really kind of a complicated, you know, fortunately I don't have to figure that out to believe that Jesus is God, right? But Jesus, in His humanity, learned about Himself, about His purpose, about who He was. And so you have this these teachers with learners around them. The people learning would be asking questions of the teachers. And like today, as I said, you would have teachers asking questions. You know, in a classroom, teachers do that. They want to draw out. What do the students know already? And in our servant leadership training, maybe not in the training itself, but as we think about the principles that we've done here at COJ, some of you have been a part of that. But one thing that we find out is that people learn a lot more, not from what we say, but what they say and what they do. And so we practice that in that training. But that's what a teacher does. A good teacher does that, right? Finds out what people already know and that they can say. Well, what we find in Jesus here is some really good questions and good answers. So He was asking, and the people were amazed at the questions that He was asking, at the answers as the teacher asked questions of the group. Jesus would respond well to those things. And so they're amazed at Him absorbing Scripture, the Scripture, as I said, about Himself, but that He also had to learn. And as we find, again, this mixture, like I said, last week we had the story of Jesus as a human story. And, you know, how does that work, that God has to learn? I don't know. But Jesus, as God, but as human, had to learn. And so he was human, like us, in that way. But already, even at age 12, He recognized that He has a godly purpose. A godly purpose. And He's learning already. What did He understand about that? I don't know. I don't think anybody really can understand what Jesus knew. But He knew something already about what his role was, about who He was. And He was learning about that. So why was Jesus there and not with His family? Did He just ignore His family? Well, actually, at the end of our text, Luke makes clear to point out that Jesus was obedient to His parents. He was obedient to them. So the fact that He's here and not traveling back home with His parents as they left is probably more along the lines that Jesus was so focused in what He was learning and doing that He just didn't realize. He didn't realize that His family was headed home. Maybe He didn't realize even what day it was at that point. He's just learning and soaking all of this in. As I said, as we learn about Jesus, we also learn about ourselves. We learn about us. And we do that even in this conversation here that comes up. His parents finally find Him. And they're astonished that He's there. What is He doing here? And His mother comes up to Him and says, "Why have you treated us this way? Don't you know that we have been anxiously searching for you?" And, you know, again, Jesus' response then is not one of anger. It's not argumentative. It's not one of rebellion. It's merely explanatory to her. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" To Him, this was the obvious place that He needed to be. And He knew that His parents knew something about Him, so, and who He was and His purposes. This would be, He thought, where they would expect to find Him. Jesus knew enough about Himself. Should they also know enough that the temple is where He belongs? As he replies and says, didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? We read that, in my father's house. In reality, he could be saying, it's broader than just in the temple. It's really about my father's things, or the King James, I believe, says it, about my father's business. It really just says, that of my father, in the Greek. It just says, that of my father. So, you know, that belonging or coming from my father, which the temple is the focal point of that. So that makes sense. And it makes sense to translate that in my father's house. But it's really broader than just in the temple. It's about what God's purpose was for him. His godly purpose. His life was focused on that purpose. We understand what Jesus' purpose was. As we continue to read, we find out that Jesus' purpose was to live a perfect life for us. And really, to die for us. As, you know, he talks about it in different ways. As the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. As the lamb who would give his life to save the world, to forgive, to ransom from sin. All of those things. That's his purpose. So we know that that's his purpose. That's where he was heading. We might ask the question, too, what type of focus do we have? Obviously, it's not the same as Jesus' purpose and focus in life. It's different for us. But what type of focus do we have? There are so many things that come at us in life. And as we read, as John records part of Jesus' life, we find Mary and Martha, and we find the account that's probably familiar as well, where Martha chose to sit and learn from Jesus, sit at his feet and learn from him. Whereas Martha was prioritizing work that really was, the daily things that probably needed to get done. But Mary had a focus on the bigger picture, what is happening in life, the important things, the most important things. You know, the things that Martha was focused on were important in their way, but the most important things are the things of God. Jesus had a godly purpose. He learned that purpose as he grew up. He learned that for us. And his godly purpose is for us. And God also has a godly purpose for us as well, each one of us. He has a plan for us. First, through Jesus, as we receive forgiveness through what he has done for us, and then as he guides us in our lives as well. You think about Jesus at age 12, and I wonder about, what would Jesus think about the phrase, let kids be kids? Well, what does that mean? What does that phrase even mean? Does it mean let the kids play most of the time? Let them have fun? They can do serious things later? There is a lot of time to have fun, and that's a good thing. God designed us that way. We do have fun. Is there an aspect also of, even at 12 years old, learning to live life with a godly purpose? Is that a focus? We think about Jesus learning his purpose at a young age, really. Does God ask us and guide us to learn our purpose as well at a young age? What about those who are past that age, who are living their lives as adults? Do we live our lives for our own enjoyment? Or do we live our lives hearing of Jesus' purpose for us and also seeking God's purpose for ourselves in our lives? Where is our focus? If you're not sure of what God's purpose is for your life, search it out. And no matter how old you are, God still has a purpose for the life that you have ahead of you, right? Whatever it is, search that out. As we continue on, in next week we begin the season of Epiphany. We find Jesus being revealed to the world. These things from the early years of his life, Mary treasured them in her heart. Luke found them out later, recorded them for us, and we see in Jesus a human story, the human story of Jesus, and we also see his godly purpose. And as we learn his godly purpose, as he interacts with us humans, we also have a godly purpose for our lives. God intends for us to come to him, and he also intends to work through us to reach out to others as well. And so as we learn about Jesus' purpose, we learn also about our own. And may we be blessed as we follow in the purpose God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you are guiding us. Thank you that you guided Jesus' life, that he grew up learning the purpose that you had for him as he went to the cross for us, died for us, and rose again for us. And we realize that your purpose for our lives is for us to receive that, to come to a knowledge of salvation, and that you would work then through our lives. We ask that as we learn about Jesus' purpose, you would also reveal to us your purpose for us in our lives, that we would live godly lives in your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.